church. Hallelujah. Happy New Year. How many of you came in to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords today? We're singing a song called Jesus Our Victory. And I can honestly say that I woke up and pushed the snooze button quite a few times this morning. And I felt the Lord literally tell me to get up. Sometimes you just got to get up and push yourself. You know, serving God from your heart and in your mind is a wonderful place to be. So I just want to praise the Lord today. Let's give him a hand clap of praise before we even start singing. If you want to come up to the front and worship, Jesus is our victory. Hallelujah.
Most High am lifted up. His train filled the temple, 'cause he's never lost a battle. So why should I fear? Why should I be afraid? 'Cause I know my help is on the way. Yeah. So praise like we've already won. Praise Him, He has overcome. Praise like we've already won. Praise Him, He has overcome. Even when it doesn't look like it, even when it doesn't seem we'll win, my praise will be my weapon. My praise will be my weapon. Even when it doesn't look like it, even when it doesn't seem we'll win, my praise will be my weapon. My praise will be my weapon. 'Cause even when it doesn't look like it, even when it doesn't seem we'll win, my praise will be my weapon. My praise will be my weapon. Even when it doesn't look like it, even when it doesn't seem we'll win, my praise will be my weapon. My praise will be my weapon. My praise will be.
We're going to have a collective prayer every night at 7 p.m. starting tomorrow. That will end Friday night, and everybody will be welcome to that. Also, the youth will be having an outing January the 16th at 6 p.m. If you could bring $15 for that. And then also, the youth will be going to Midwinter February 6th through the 7th, and they will need to register at the Ohio District. And then also Sister Michelle will be starting her Bible study at 6 p.m. this week.
Thursday
for all the ladies. Ladies and men, okay. All right, if our ushers could come at this time. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for what you have done, Lord. We don't look in our past, Lord, but we are looking ahead. We are looking to the future. We are looking for a new year in you, Lord. We don't look back at the things that we have done, Lord. We are looking for things, God, that you can do in us and through us today, Lord. And we just ask that you bless this service today. You bless everybody in this place, Lord. We ask that you bless this offering today and bless the gift and the giver. And everybody said in Jesus' name, if you want to get out of your seat and greet someone,
church. It's a new year, and we're always excited about the new year and things like that. But there's a scripture that just keeps coming to my mind that says they overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And it is what we say. It's what we speak. When we were singing that song about victory before, it's because that's what we want to see in this new year. I know that I have things I've been praying for 4 years that I want to see happen. And I know I'm not alone, that every person that is in this place today has something that they want to see happen in this new year. So I'm asking you to speak victory over that. Whatever your prayer is, just speak victory over it. Whether it's your friends, whether it's your family, whether it's a job situation, relationships, financial, whatever it is, but speak the victory over it. Speak Jesus' name over it.
Every enemy is conquered. darkness have to bow. I speak victory. I speak victory.
Sing, every enemy.
Every enemy is conquered. Every stronghold is brought down. I speak victory. I speak victory. We're bringing home every son and daughter. Rulers of darkness have to bow. I speak victory. I speak victory.
The kingdom of God is moving forward. Revival is here.
Steps are ordered. Nothing can stand against us now. I speak victory. I speak victory.
Victory in the name of Jesus.
Oh, we thank you, Jesus, because we know that you have the victory, Lord. God, you are so good. You are so wonderful. And we can walk in that authority.
Victory in the name of Jesus. Victory in the name of Jesus. Victory in the name of Jesus. Victory in the name.
Victory in the name of Jesus. Victory in the name of Jesus. Victory in the name of Jesus. Victory in the name.
There's victory in the name of Jesus.
Victory in the name of Jesus. Victory in the name of Jesus. Victory in the name. Victory in the name of Jesus. Victory in the name of Jesus. Victory in the name of Jesus. Victory in the name
of
Jesus.
Jesus. There is victory in your name. We call the name of
Jesus.
Over every family, I speak victory. Over every situation and over every nation. Oh, oh. There's victory in the name. to sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. Never want to leave. And I'm not here for blessings. Jesus, you don't owe me anything, more than anything that you can do. I just want you. And I'm sorry when I've just gone through the motions. I'm sorry when I just sing another song. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. And I'm sorry when I've come with my agenda. I'm sorry when I forgot that you're enough. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. Thank you.
Say there's nothing like the presence of the Lord. There's nothing like the presence of the Lord. Praise God. There's nothing like the presence of the Lord. Praise God. One more time, would you lift your voices, lift your hands unto the Lord and just thank Him for His mighty presence that we feel. We love You, Lord Jesus. We love You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Nothing else will do, Jesus. I'm caught up in Your presence. Come on, let's sing that to the Lord. I just want to sit here at Your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. Never want to leave. Oh, thank You, Jesus. We love You, Lord. We love You, Lord Jesus. We love You, Lord Jesus. We love You, Lord. We love You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. What an awesome presence of God is here today. Are you thankful to be in the house of God this first Sunday of 2026. Before you're seated, I think He's here. We've been trying to give it to Him, but sickness hit the homes and what have you. But Daniel, where's little Daniel at, Michaela? He was here. Maybe Benny can come and take it for him. Benny, come on, come here, and would you rejoice at the Lord? Daniel was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank You, buddy. Praise God, praise God. You may be seated. And it's so good to be in the presence of the Lord, in the house of the Lord.
nothing like that. Nothing like the presence of God. Grateful to be in His house, in His presence. Are you thankful? One more time, shout amen. Today, January 4th, what a good day. I understand it's some twins' birthday. Is that correct? Sister Maria, is it today? Yeah. I'm not going to embarrass them, although I may have already. Someone said they're too sweet to be one, and so there had to be two. I don't know if that's true or not. Today is my wife and I's 23rd wedding anniversary. I don't know if I'm like fine wine that I just get better with time, or am I more like cheese? The longer it stays, the moldier it gets and stinkier. Years ago, my wife and I said I do, and I'm thankful. I'd still say I do, and there's things, because I committed my life to her, there are things I say I don't do. And I'm thankful that we can have a covenant with the Lord and with each other. I'm thankful that all of us can have a covenant with the Lord where there are things we say I do serve you and I won't do this. Jesus plainly stated in John chapter 15, beginning with verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. I'm thankful today that we've got a promise from our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He said, if you're in me and I'm in you, you can ask any one thing and it shall be done. Someone to tell them you better be connected to him. The Apostle Paul, a scholar in his own right, he said that he came to preach Christ Jesus and him crucified. He mentions this fact found in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 through 5. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Paul, he is a man called by God to the representation of the fivefold ministry to the Gentile nation. He's not sent to give great speeches. He was not sent to be politically correct, a politically correct speaker. He denies all of that when he stated that he does not come with wise and persuasive words. But he does come and he reminds the Gentile nation that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the light. You see, all of us, if we were not born into a particular tribe, you are unfortunately a Gentile. Look at you, someone, and if it's appropriate, say you're a Gentile dog. I got some of y'all in trouble. You're like, you're a dog. Come on, that's, I guess, an acronym, okay? Dynamite Outstanding Girl, or Dynamite Outstanding. At least that's what I heard a guy. Paul, he reminds the Gentile nation that Jesus is the vine, that Jesus is the root, he's the tree, and with no connection to him, Jesus Christ, the branches will die. Paul, the apostle to the Gentile nation, he reminds them in the book of Romans that they were not the original group that God wanted to work through or work with. They weren't the originals, the OG, the original crew. But Paul teaches this one principle, that Jesus came first to the Jewish nation, Israel. But there were those who rejected his message of salvation. So now, watch what he says. Remember, he's comparing the first fruits to the latter fruits. He is comparing the Jewish nation as the one to whom was the originally ones connected to the vine, the root, which we know is Jesus Christ. Paul says this, since they crucified the Lord of glory. You see, you and I, us Gentiles, we have been come engrafted into the original root, the original calling, and the original promises. I'm thankful today that where I don't belong, the Word of God came inside and engrafted us. We are engrafted, connected to the root, the tree, the branch. I'm thankful to be connected to Jesus. Are you thankful to be connected to Jesus? So Paul says this, Romans chapter 11, 16. If the dough offered as first fruits is holy, so is the whole lump. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. But if some of the branches were broken off, and you, although a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among the others and now share in the nourishing root of the olive tree. Do not be arrogant towards the other branches. If you are, remember, it is not you who support the root, but the root that supports you. You need Jesus. I need Jesus. And without Jesus, we are nothing. Maybe this version may help us along. It's a little more modern. It says like this: behind and underneath are this, all this, there is a holy, God-planted, God-tended root. If the primary root of the tree is holy, there's bound to be some holy fruit. Some of the tree's branches were pruned and you wild olive shoots were grafted in. Yet the fact that you are now fed by that rich and holy root gives you no cause to gloat over the pruned branches. Remember, you are not feeding the root. It is the root feeding you. Originally, all of the promises and prophecies were given to Israel through Abraham's seed. When God told Abram in Genesis chapter 12 to separate himself from the others because he was calling him to greatness. Let me preach or pause and say this: greatness requires separation from mediocrity. I'm telling us today that greatness in God requires a group of people who is willing to stand up and stand out and say, I'm serving Jesus no matter what. Paul, the Lord called Abram out of the group of the people and let everybody know, this man is called by me. If you want to receive a calling from God, you've got to be willing to separate from the things of the past, willing to separate from things of yesteryear, and turn to Jesus. Somebody shout yes. But here was that promise. Genesis chapter 12, 2 and 3. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. The Lord reiterated that point again in Genesis chapter 15. And then he said it even again in Genesis chapter 22, 17 reads, I will surely bless you and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of the heaven and as the sands of the sea that are in the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gates of their enemies. And in your offspring shall all the nation of the earth be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. See, the Lord said it on many occasions. So long as you do what I'm telling you to do, you will be blessed. He's telling them, so long as you do what I'm telling you to do, you will be covered. You will be delivered. You will live victoriously. The Lord anointed Moses to pronounce blessings and curses over Israel. Moses was making a proclamation over Asher, one of Moses' last things he was doing as they were about to step foot into the promised land. He says this, Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 25, "Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be." Now, when I read that first part, I thought, what in the world does that mean? Anybody ever read that? Read your Bible and you're like, holy cow, I don't even get it. How many maybe have started a reading plan for the first of the year and you're beginning with those who begat this person and begat that, and you're like, oh, can I just swing past that really quick? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Say amen. "Thy shoes shall be iron and brass." Charles Spurgeon explained it like this: "Such sandals would protect tender feet, and God protects. Such sandals would be sturdy for travel, and God enables us to walk difficult paths. Such sandals would be good for soldiers, and we wage war in the spirit and crush spiritual adversaries under our feet. Such sandals would be good for climbing mountains, and God has heights for his people to climb. Such sandals would last a long time needed for our long journey with the Lord." Matter of fact, he went a little further and he said this: "This promise meant that Asher should have treasures under his feet, mines of iron and copper within the boundaries of the tribe." Oh, we may not have wealth under our feet today necessarily, but you and I, we have authority and dominion, and we need to walk like that in the Spirit. Another commentator writes, "Shoes crafted from iron and brass signify a protective covering essential for any journey. This represents the toughness needed to face life's challenges head on. They convey that while we may not know what trials lie ahead, we are assured of divine protection," end of quote. I want to just say this, that God is wanting this year to give each and every one of us authority where we walk and dominion where we talk. I want to let you know today that God is enabling every last one of us to walk in spiritual authority and to not back down, but have the strength to stand and follow him. Would you clap your hands and shout yes? Deuteronomy 28 and 13, "Of the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. He shall be above only and not beneath. If thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and do them." Luke 10:19, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing, no thing shall by any means hurt you." Mark 16:17, "And these signs shall follow them that believe." I want to let you know you've got the authority to be a believer, and you've got the authority to lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Hear me today. You can plant that foot down and know that God Almighty is backing you up. Moses, he prophesies to Asher, though. And he lets him know there's going to be battles to be fought. There's going to be wars to wage, but under your feet is not just wealth, but there is a foundation of dominion matched by the strength of all of heaven. "Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be." Everybody say that, "As my day, so shall my strength be." That last part simply means this: God provides us with strength that perfectly meets those daily needs. Clark's commentary states this, and I quote, "The meaning is obvious. Whatever your trials or difficulties may be, he shall always give you grace to support you under and bring you through them." I'm thankful for a heavenly Father that gives us grace to walk and make. I'm thankful that we have a heavenly Father that knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly what you're facing, and he's giving you and I the sufficient strength for that moment. He's giving you and I sufficient grace for that very moment. So whatever is happening throughout the day, whatever trial, whatever situation we face, No, know this, that he not only will give you sufficient strength to get through it, but know that your strength comes from leaning into the everlasting arms of our Heavenly Father. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. It means this, however weak you might feel in yourself, however rough the road you might need to travel, the heavy burden you may have to carry or are carrying already through this new year, God will supply you with sufficient strength for the day. And because of that, you and I can walk with joy, biblical joy, because he holds your world in his hands. Say, why don't you make it personal again? As my strength, as my days, so shall my strength be. God's given each and every one of you the strength, sufficient strength, just made, custom made for you. Because what you might go through is nothing I might face. And what this person might be dealing with, they don't know where they're getting the strength, but so long as you're getting up every day, putting God first, serving God, guess what? Your strength's going to be right there. The grace will be right there. I'm thankful today that we can walk and have dominion and authority, but not just that. We can walk in the confidence knowing that in 2026, God is on my side and God is backing me up. Would you stand to your feet and clap your hands and shout yes? Give a high five to somebody and say, you're going to make it. You are going to make it. Here's what I want to try to lay down today for our first Sunday of 2026. Jesus said that he was the vine. The branches that were connected to him would have dominion and authority. And Paul said, hey, this first group didn't want it. But you Gentiles, you savages, you outcasts, you drifters, you misfits, you got a chance to be engrafted into the root, the vine, Christ Jesus. Others may not have wanted it, but the outcasts, the drifters, the misfits. How many know what I'm talking about? You may not want to identify yourself like that, but that's exactly what Paul is telling us. Such were some of you, but you've been washed. But you have been sanctified. Well, come on, somebody. I'm letting you know you may not deserve it, but God is calling us. Saying you've got the chance to be engrafted into the root, the vine. And not only is salvation now available to us, but also every promise, every word spoken, every intent, every thought, if it comes from the vine, if it comes from the root, and you are connected to it, guess what? You get everything that the Lord gives. If you are connected to the vine, if you are connected to the root, every promise in the book is yours. Every plan that God laid out is yours. You just got to stand firm and go after it. Clap your hands and say amen. I want us to walk out of here knowing and understanding that you have every promise, every prophecy, everything is intended and will happen if you live your life for him. Matthew 18, 18, verily I say unto you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I feel an authority in this place that if you're connected to the vine, and he said if you're connected, you've got authority. It's time we speak out and let the world know we love Jesus and he's more than enough for everything. And again, I say to you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching any one thing that you ask, it shall be done. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm in the midst of them. Deuteronomy, that's a promise for you. Deuteronomy 33:25, because we are the engrafted branch. We are that wild olive tree that Paul declared us as. Every promise, every prophecy, every thought, every intention, it belongs and comes through Jesus. And if you're connected through Jesus, guess what? It belongs to you. Thy shoes shall be iron. You're not going to fall short. You're going to stand and have the strength to stand. And as thy day, so shall thy strength be. Again, I say it. If you are connected to Jesus, separated from the world, engrafted into the body by way of salvation, I still believe the way of salvation. Jesus said it, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Do you still believe that? Shout yes.
Yes.
Not man-made ways. You ain't going to get to heaven by shaking the preacher's hand. We need to go by way of the water. We need to have that wonderful name of Jesus engrafted in us and through us by way of baptism. You and I, we need the gift of the Holy. We need God's Spirit in us today. Hear me today. You have access to every right and every promise you find in God's Word. Messianic prophecy went forth from Psalms. Chapter 110. Verses that were pointing to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and the work in which he would accomplish through his plan. And verse 1 goes like this. It's even been referenced in the New Testament. Sit thou on my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. And yes, this is referring to Jesus Christ, but if we are his body in this world, and if he's the vine and we are the branches, that gives us hope today. That if I'm connected to the vine, if I'm engrafted into the vine, I get to claim this scripture that the enemy will be my footstool. I don't know if you really know that or understand it, but every book, every promise, every prophecy given, that because I'm connected to Jesus, everything belongs to me. And if he's the vine, I'm the branches. If the enemy is his footstool, the enemy's my footstool. How many's got a recliner in your house? Yeah. How many is it hard to get you to move once you're in that recliner? I mean, I don't know what it is, but sometimes it feels like there's a button there. That the moment you sit in it, your eyes close. Nothing will shake you or rattle you when you get in there. And you're just sitting there, but then when you kick that switch back or hit a button, whatever it is, and your feet become elevated. Oh, some of your best napping. I got an office chair upstairs. I should have brought it down just to brag and maybe preach from it. Brother John, it's not fancy looking. But I've got this little thing inside that I reach down and I pull out, and I've got a footstool on my office chair. And not only, yeah, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. But not only will it elevate my feet, but I can pop another button, and next thing you know, I'm just fully reclined. You don't want me to do that today. There's nothing like getting your feet off the ground and raised up. Come on, somebody help me out. Say amen. How many's got a recliner with a footrest that you can lay your feet up just as... Yeah, they've got beds today that you hit a switch and your feet can be elevated. I'm not going to ask who has one of those $10,000, $12,000 beds, but I'm glad you can have it. But I started thinking about the footstool and its purpose. Now, this may shock you. This may shock many of you, but I'm vertically challenged. Yeah, does that shock anybody or not really? Joe, do I? Yeah, you're blown away by that fact. That is crazy. I found out really what the problem is. My wife and I were the pastor that did officiated Chloe's wedding the other day. He's 6'3". And we were really good friends. But he started seeing one of my shirts, and he said, "Oh, man, I like that shirt. I've got one just like it." And we started comparing how many colors of that same shirt we've got, and we have the match, but whatever. But he said, "What size do you wear?" And I wear the same size as a 6'3" guy. Now, I look like I'm 4'7", but I'm not. And so my wife so lovingly said to him, "Oh, but my husband's the fun size." Well, happy anniversary to you, dear. You know what the fun size, those Snicker bars? They're like that long, and then the fun size are about a quarter of that. My problem isn't the fact that I'm short and chunky. My problem is I'm just under tall. That if I were to be stretched out, I would be 6'3" and look like a tall glass of water, cold water. But there's nothing like coming home and kicking your feet back after a hard day's work, putting them up on a footstool. And I always thought of that scripture as putting the enemy under your feet. Someone say amen. But then it hit me. Because not only will the Lord give us victory over the enemy by allowing us, everybody say us, to rest on or over them. But this is what really got me. And it's because I need a small stepladder to maybe hit the cabinets at the house. I don't know. But a footstool is this. It's used to step up on to get to those hard-to-reach places. A footstool is also used to help me elevate myself above the obstacle that is in front of me. A footstool is also used to step up on to raise my eyesight above the elevation. I want to let you know that this year the Lord is wanting to make your enemy not just a victory place where you stand, but will elevate your eyes to see what God wants you to see. He wants to elevate your eyesight to see greater and better and higher heights. Do you want that promise to be made full in your life? Stand to your feet and shout yes. Yes, victory over the enemy and rest over the enemy. But yet at the same time, he's going to allow you and I to the issues of the past that has become an issue for us today. He's allowing us to step up on that and look beyond what's in front of us. Allow us to reach to higher heights that you would no longer or not be able to do. I'm thankful that the enemy is going to be used as a footstool. Not only will I get victory, but we ought to get stepping and knowing that God's taking us to a new place, a new dimension to reach higher heights and yet deeper depths. I will make your enemies thy footstool. But our authority, though, comes from our willingness to submit our wills to His. Our authority comes from doing what He says. Our authority, it comes from subjecting ourselves to what the root, the vine, has to say. That prophetic word that was given to the people of God in Deuteronomy that states you will be blessed in the field, blessed in the storehouse, blessed when you're coming, blessed when you're going. You're going to be the head and not the tail. That's in Deuteronomy chapter 28. I don't know, you may want to mark that up a little bit in your Bible. If you read and mark your Bible, maybe you want to say, you know what? I'm not part of the original group. I'm not an OG, but I'll tell you what I am. I'm an engrafted word. I'm engrafted into it. It's because of that. If I'm connected to Him, every blessing is mine. Every promise is mine. Every prophecy is mine. But in Deuteronomy, we find that word over and over again. It's blessed. It's used quite a bit in Scripture, and that word means something maybe a little bit different than what we understand it as. It means prosperity that derives from kneeling or submitting. I want to boldly declare to all of us today that our blessings, our ability to be an overcomer, our prosperity hinges on whether or not we will kneel and be willing to be touched, to touch and submit to the one who blesses us. Yes. You want to be blessed, you got to submit yourselves to the vine, the root. If we're willing to kneel, he's willing to bestow greatness upon us. In other words, my submitting, my kneeling, my making myself vulnerable allows me to come under his shadow of protection. That's why James said it like this in James chapter 4 and verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God and resist the devil and he shall flee from you. You see, our level of submission gives us the ability to resist. Resist means to stand against, to refuse to be pushed. It means to push back. You see, our level of submission is what enables us and empowers us to push back the enemy. If we, you and I, get that independent, nasty attitude of I don't want to do it, I'm going to do it my way. The Bible says it. Jesus actually said it, John 15:6. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and are burned. The reversal of every blessing, folks, that if you or I choose not to submit our will to his word and his ways, the reversal of every blessing will be reaping every curse that's found in the book. Someone say amen. It's a lengthy read, but it starts in verse 13 of Deuteronomy chapter 28. It says, God will make you the head, not the tail. You'll always be the top dog. I'm reading from a modern translation. Never the underdog. As you obediently listen to and diligently keep the commands of God, your God, and I'm commanding you today, don't swerve an inch to the right or the left from the words that I command you today by going off, following, and worshiping other gods. Here's what will happen if you do not obediently listen to the voice of God, your God, and diligently keep all the commandments and guidelines that I'm commanding you today. All these curses will come down hard on you. God's curse is in the city and in the country. God's curse will be on your basket and your bread bowl. God's curse will be on your children, the crops of your land, the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds, the lambs of your flocks. God's curse in your coming in. God's curse will be on your going out. You see, the opposite of the blessing is the curse. And if you and I end up bucking the system, I guess if we want to call it that, and say, no, I'm just going to do it my way. You see, there's only room for one way because Jesus said, I am the way. Your way doesn't count. Your idea, you got to submit it to God. So he's saying, the opposite of the blessing is the curse. God will send the curse, the confusion, the contrariness down on everything you try to do until you've been destroyed and there's nothing left of you, all because of your evil pursuits that led you to abandon me. That's what the Bible says. God will infect you with the disease, wiping you right off the land you're going in to possess. I mean, he's telling them that they'll have fevers and rashes. They'll have jaundice. They'll hunt you down and kill you. The sky over your head will become an iron roof and the ground under your feet a slab of concrete. So whatever you try to do, if you do not submit your will and way to God, guess what happens? Everything you touch does no longer will be blessed, but it will be cursed. Says God will defeat you by enemy attack. You'll come at your enemies on one road and run away on seven roads. All the kingdoms of the earth will see you as a horror. carrion birds and animals will boldly feast on your dead body with no one to chase them away. God will hit you hard with the boils of Egypt, scabs, and incurable itch. He'll make you go crazy and blind and senile. Your sons and daughters, verse 32, will be shipped off to foreigners. You'll wear your eyes out looking vainly for them, helpless to do a thing. Your crops and everything you work for will be eaten and used by foreigners. You'll spend the rest of your lives abused and knocked around. What you see will drive you crazy. The foreigner who lives among you will climb the ladder, verse 43, higher and higher, while you go deeper and deeper. And you see, folks, if we shout with the blessing, we've got to understand there is a curse. That if we do not submit our will and our ways to Him, every promise, every prophecy will be null and void. And it will become that everything you do will not have the favor of God on it. And I don't want any last one of us having that type of curse on us. Someone say amen. Amen. Instead of the enemies becoming your footstool, if we don't obey and listen to the book, our Bible, you and I will become the footstool. Hear me today, we must subject ourselves to His Word. Brother Tom, can you help me get back there or get these young men to help, whoever it was that talked with them? I'm going to tell you what we're going to see this year. But hear me, it will not happen unless you remain connected to the vine. I'm not a prophet, neither am I the son of a prophet. But I haven't missed it yet, I don't believe. Well, everybody was talking 2020, perfect vision. Remember 2020? That's when COVID was around. And everybody was losing their minds. Everybody was losing their minds. Everybody's saying, that's perfect vision. I felt deeply that the Lord told me in 2019, 2020 is going to be when you grow deeper. But I want to tell us that we're going to have to be on spiritual guard. I don't know if I've got enough for the little ones, but you've got to remain connected to the vine. We must this year be on spiritual guard. Lawlessness will abound out of bounds, and sin, our adversary, will attempt to disguise itself. 2 Corinthians 11:14, if you open that up, you'll see the word says, and no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So what you're going to have to do is walk in the Spirit. You have a compass, I believe, on there. And you can keep this connected to that paper, but you can make it your prayer. Lord, guide me. Guard me. You're going to have to walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Verse 17, for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. Hear me today. Sin will be disguised. And if Satan himself can disguise himself as an angel of light, temptation will come to all of us. It's going to look a certain way, but never show you the outcome. It might even look a little different, but it's still sin. It's still something you have to guard yourself from. It may not look like pornography at first, but it will destroy you. It may not look like lust or greed. It may not look like that because Satan, he's a master of his trade, of his craft. So you and I, we've got to walk in the Spirit. The word walk, as we might know, is to conduct life, but because of the nature of the point he's wanting to make, the Apostle Paul, a scholar in his own rights, writing under the holy anointing of God, he writes that word in Greek. It means peripateo. It's two words. It means to walk around in a complete circuit or going full circle. Because you see, a circle has no corner or dimensions or edges. It's a closed two-dimensional shape. In other words, here's what Paul was saying. Don't let anything break your connection to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm preaching just as strong as I was earlier. Don't allow there to be any one thing that will work its way in and trip you up. When we walk in the Holy Ghost, when we live in the Holy Ghost, you can take it to the bank. His Spirit will not only open doors, but His Spirit will go to work for you. And His Spirit will close doors. How many's ever prayed that God closed some doors? Yes. How many's ever, go ahead, clap your hands and say amen to that. How many's ever prayed against something and God shut it down? It happens. Sister Michelle, I'm not even going to ask how many girlfriends that your beloved son you prayed out of his life, and you prayed for one to go, but God said, nah, I'll take her. She didn't leave. She just came back and got the Holy Ghost. Sister Jordan came to our house the very first time. Was it blue hair or purple hair? She was an old blue hair. Never mind. I'm telling you that we need the Spirit of God to work in us and through us. We need Him to guide us. In 2026, we need to be led by the Spirit. But when His Spirit, and when we are connected to that vine, that branch, whatever promise that is in this book belongs to us. Whatever promise, whatever prophecy belongs to us. But also when it says blessed in the field, and blessed in the storehouse, blessed when you're coming and going. Guess what that means? It hinges on whether or not you will kneel and submit that will to Him. Let's all stand. We're going to see the miraculous. You may not believe that quite yet, but we're going to see the miraculous. Go ahead, Dylan, you believe it. You got the Holy Ghost, man. And if you doubted that or he didn't realize it, Sister Jordan, that I was making jokes at, had a stroke at, I don't want to ask your age, but she's in her 30s. You are 30. She had a stroke at 30 years old at the end of last year in the hospital for about a week. Doctors were saying it was MS, convinced that it was MS. And what I love is what confuses science never confuses God Almighty. Your vision was blurred or wonky, I know that. I don't even know if wonky is a word. Is that a Greek word, maybe? It is a word. Are you wonky? A little bit. And I knew the moment, Sister Jordan, I didn't share it with you, but I knew right then that when your vision was like that, I looked at my wife and I said, God's going to heal her vision when she leaves the hospital completely. Sister Jordan, your vision has been restored, right? And you're not in the hospital. So when I tell you that you and I will see the miraculous, you and I will see the miraculous. We'll see souls transformed, territory gained, lives healed. But we've got to do it about going God's way, being connected to the vine. In 2025, we had 380 accumulated days of fasting. That's 9,120 hours that we fasted all year long. We had 172 guests come through these doors. We had 65 that either received the Holy Ghost or were baptized in Jesus' name. And I know that our theme for last year was take the land, but this is how we're going to continue to take the land. We've got to be led by the Spirit. On the inside of that little folder paper, whatever you call that, you've got it. You might want to look at it. Open it up. My son made this for me. So if anybody's got a problem with it, don't blame me, blame him. I told Aiden what I wanted and he went to work. Here's how we'll continue to see the covering of God, the blessings of God, the peace of God in our homes and our lives is one, you see it, it's red, it says worship. You and I must come in ready to worship. We're not going to wait for our favorite song. We're not going to wait until the first key is ever played. We're going to come in ready to go. We're going to come in prepared to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. My feet shall stand within thy gates. So I've been waiting all day long to get into God's presence. You come ready to worship, and you will see the miraculous. The people of God, number two, are in unity. You and I, it's going to take us coming in with the same mindset that nothing else matters but to have God's presence come into our lives. You see, discord, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. We're seeing it played across our news channels. We're seeing it in schools. We're seeing it in ideas, plots, and plans. But God forbid that ever happened to the church of the living God. Is Christ divided, Paul said? I say not. See, they were arguing about who baptized who and who believed this and did that. And Paul, he got honked off and he said, no. Is Christ divided? I say not. Folks, I'm telling us today that if you want to see God's hand, blessings, and covering in your life, if you want to continue to take the land, we've got to submit our will to God and to each other. I may not agree with you, and that's okay. You may not agree with me. But let us come into agreement that He is on His throne and nothing else matters. Here's number three. We've got to come with faith. We've got to come with expectation. There's not a service that goes by that I don't expect God to do something great. I may not know what it is, but I'm excited about it. We've got to come with a holy expectation that His will come. So we're going to worship. We're going to come together with the same mindset. We're going to have faith. We're going to invite people. You got to invite somebody. Our lifestyle is our greatest witness, but every once in a while our mouth betrays that. Look at somebody now and say, shame, shame, know your name. We got to invite people. And don't wait for an invitation to come. When the music's rocking and rolling, when it's quiet and we're moving slow, still come. I know people, this altar space isn't big enough for all of us to make it. But wherever we are in the church, let us make an altar and let us obey that invitation. Someone say amen. Number five, God will do the miraculous. Number six, when we come and worship unity, faith, inviting, the miraculous will come. And watch this. The miracles will create a hunger for the Holy Ghost and for God. I want an entire Muslim family, folks, an entire Muslim family that has now, that family has reached out to three or four other Muslim families from the continent of Africa. They're the real deal. I want an entire family simply because of a miracle that happened to a young lady. She was hit by a car, and 75% of the bones were broken on her right side of her body. And we went in there, and we didn't cry out and scream and shout and jump around and act the fool. We just simply said, in the name of Jesus Christ, reach down and touch Hania. And next thing you know, she started moving the very right hand that they said was broken. And within 3 days, she was up and walking. Do you know what she is today? She's a doctor. You can't tell me that God cannot heal. You cannot tell me that God... No, no, no. And then it's going to become a testimony. And when you begin to tell others about what God has done, they're going to want what you have. And then guess what happens? It's a circle. It starts all over again. 7 days. That'd be awesome if we could see something like this every 7 days. So we're going to continue to do what works. And that's the accumulative fast. I will never ask you to do something that I cannot, nor will I do. I'm not going to ask you to change a flapper on a toilet if I won't change it. I'm not going to ask you to pick up a broom if I'm afraid to pick up a broom. I'll pick up paper any day. I don't even mind when it's our month to clean, sweetheart, to vacuum the sanctuary. Pastor, you do that? Yeah. Because that's my moment. I get to pray over every single chair. But I will never ask you to fast and sacrifice if I'm not willing to do so. So when you fast, we've got it like we've been doing for the past 3 or 4 years. And the reason why we're seeing God move and do things is because we're willing to humble ourselves and kneel at the feet of the cross. Submit our ways to Him. You just put your hours down. I'm not asking you to go on a 40-day fast, which is 960 hours. Just start chipping away at it as you can. I mean, we fasted a lot last year. We fasted more than there were days. We're going to attend third Saturday prayer. Well, you don't understand how much I got going on. Everybody is as busy as they want to be. Ooh. Huh. It's tight, but it's right, but it's the truth. You and I, we are as busy as we want to be. I'm not trying to shame you into prayer. I want to encourage you into prayer. It's good. We need to pray at home. We ought to be worshiping at home. But on a third Saturday, once a month, when we come together and we get about 70 of us in here praying and seeking the face of God, you can feel a difference. So if you're able to, make it to one of those. It's our goal to teach personal Bible studies. It's our goal to, we're running out of room, can you tell? And we've got so many out today due to sicknesses. I've got two of my family out today, not because of sick. They're lovesick, probably. Heifers. That's not funny, is that what you said, dear? But we're running out of room, and our goal is to maybe, since we're not having much success at building right now, we're going to try to build that garage out in the back, make us a nice fellowship hall, and maybe have to shift some classrooms around because the classrooms are full. They're full. Sister Heilman, they're full, aren't they? Try to see some of the other teachers, they had to leave. Where? Oh, Michaela, they're full, aren't they? It's getting aggravating. Kids aren't able to even sit down and eat a snack. They got to eat it on the floor and pick up whatever else is on the floor. No, we need, it's time to grow. And yes, it's not going to be easy, but it will cost us something. It's not going to cost just your labor and your strength, but it will cost some money to do so. Well, somebody say amen. Speaking of that, I spoke with a lady just a couple days ago, and she said, I was trying out churches, and I got tired of trying out churches because on the very first day of the year, first Sunday, guess what they talked about that I needed to give, and I got tired of hearing that. So I went to another church the next year, and I'm like, you shouldn't have just stopped at one visit. But it really does take money to make the world go round. Some would say amen. I know this ain't fun to talk about, but one of the videos I encourage you to watch is on that very thing. It's not to pad the pastor's pocket. I paid for my wife and I paid for my daughter's wedding out of our own pockets. She's a saver. She's a saver. She hid money from me just so I wouldn't get it. I wanted beef jerky and Mountain Dew. I'd go out and do a job and she'd be like, what'd they pay you that day? And I'm like, go. But it's going to cost us. I'm going to encourage you to read the Bible. There's a book called The Unflawed Leader. Follow to Lead, The Journey of a Disciple Maker, The Liberating Power of Submission. And that's there. There's videos I want to encourage you to watch throughout the year. I wanted to add two more to that that you really enjoy is When the Altar Stops Working, by Reverend Josh Carson. If you got to write that in. And a tremendous message about prayer by Reverend Jeff Harple. It's called The Wall. I want to encourage us that we're a very blessed people, that right now what we're sitting in, this building appraises for about $400,000 to $500,000, and we owe $76,000 on it. Yeah. Pretty good. The building on the corner there that we just purchased, it appraises for $250,000, and we owe about $75,000 on it. It's pretty good shape, isn't it? But wouldn't it be wonderful if we say, you know what? We got to build again. So whatever it takes, we're going to go and do and be and say. Folks, I'm asking us that if you want to continue to take the land in your home and your lives, let that compass be a reminder to you to step out in faith, knowing that if we're submitted to His will, the blessings will come on you. Is there anybody in the house that wants the blessings to come upon you and your family? Step out from where you are. Let's just seal it tonight. Let's just seal that with a prayer of dedication right now. In your own words and in your own ways. We'll do it, Lord. Where there's blessings, there is curses. I don't want the curse of God on our lives. I want the blessings of God. Wherever you are right now, if you're able to lift a hand to heaven, and in your own words and in your own way, would you begin to rededicate, recommit that this is the year. This is the time. This is the place. Every prophecy, every promise.